Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, if your boyfriend is listening to Beast Beck,
Brian Spector,
then reach over, grab his knob, and turn it up.
We ready! We ready! We ready!
Football fans, it's that time for the NFL Spectacular with Beast Beck, Brian Spector.
You know, big papi.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious? Malin couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
He's the king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4 forever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's Beast Beck, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
I'm absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Shut your pie hole! We're working here!
Let's get her!
The NFL Spectacular is on the air. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing out there today? Brian Spector with you, taking you the next hour. We'll take your phone calls, have some guests dropping by, and in the last 30 seconds, I think there's been another recruiting violation on Lane Kiffin and the University of Tennessee. This is like the never-ending story. I like Lane Kiffin as a person. I really do. And I've said this before, he got the raw deal in Oakland, but every coach is unsuccessful in Oakland because of Al Davis meddling in the everyday affairs with the football team. So I don't blame Lane Kiffin for that. I think he'll do very well at Tennessee. My only critique of Lane Kiffin is the way he's handled the situation, calling out other coaches in what is arguably the toughest football conference in all of college, the SEC. I don't know the rules. As far as recruiting, I'd have to speak to a few people and find out how it works, and I have to make those phone calls and see exactly what he's done. But if anybody watched that report on ESPN filming meetings with him and potential recruits, I'm not what people would call a genius when it comes to the whole recruiting issue, but I would have to say that has a tendency to be a little bit illegal. Filming on a national network with a high school kid, that's one of the many violations that are up in the air regarding Lane Kiffin. And if he hasn't attracted so much attention to himself, per se, in the last 6 months, I don't know of anybody who has garnished more attention than Lane Kiffin. I think he's great for Knoxville. He's young, he's fiery, he's passionate, he's great for the university. I love his demeanor, and I've said over and over how much I love his father, Monty Kiffin, who you could argue himself, Tony Dungy, have been two of those innovators of the cover two scheme in the National Football League, and now Monty's going to bring that cover two scheme to the college level at a big program like Tennessee. Defense wasn't their problem last year. Their defense is going to be even better to implement that system. He's going to teach those kids how to play the game, and those kids are going to be NFL ready. Lane's going to get an opportunity to fix the offense. Brought in some controversial recruits. Bryce Brown. You saw the media circus surrounding Mr. Brown when he finally decided to make his home the University of Tennessee. And it makes you think, what is going to happen as all of these potential, and I'm quoting, potential recruiting violations keep popping up in Tennessee. And right now, Tennessee is looking into the potential story with Lane Kiffin. And it has been a wild start. Tennessee is looking into whether it committed another NCAA recruiting violation by allowing ESPN to be present during a meeting between Coach Lane Kiffin and recruits. a segment of ESPN's Outside the Lines, which aired Sunday, showed Kiffin in his office where he was recruiting. Later, the story referenced the scene again, saying, remember the scene where Lane Kiffin is talking to a recruit. According to NCAA recruiting rule 13.10.1, a member institution shall not permit a media entity to be present during any recruiting contact made by an institution's coaching staff member. Tennessee spokeswoman Tiffany Carpenter confirmed the review but declined further comment. Tennessee has reported at least four minor recruiting violations since Kiffin was introduced as coach December 1st. Athletic Director Mike Hamilton said recently the number isn't any more than the school's usual report. ESPN's Outside the Line segment, which recapped Kiffin's first 6 months as coach of the Volunteers, also included a statement made by Kiffin's former team, the Oakland Raiders. Kiffin was fired in September for cause after what owner Al Davis described as acts of insubordination and lying. Kiffin filed the grievance and is seeking 2 months' pay for the time he was unemployed before being hired at Tennessee. Lane Kiffin is a flat-out liar. He lied to the team. He lied to the fans. He lied to the media, the Raiders statement said. He will try to destroy that university like he tried to destroy the Raiders and will eventually clash with Pat Summitt and Bruce Pearl. Carpenter declined comment on the Raiders statement. And let me get back into this for a minute. First off, that's a stupid-ass comment by Al Davis and the Oakland Raiders. We're talking about one of the most distraught franchises in sports right now. He lied? I don't give a crap if Lane Kiffin lied to anybody. I don't care if he lied to the fans. Coaches lie to the fans every day. Oh, I love this player on our 53-man roster. He's going to be a great player. It's called positive PR. You can't bring anything negative to a team and everybody surrounding the team. You know how many times coaches and general managers lie to the fans? Oh, this guy is going to be phenomenal for our team. I really think he's going to fit into our system. They'll say that, and they know they're lying because they're trying to create value for other teams to swoop in and take their player. That's what they want to do. It's a mind game. I don't hold anything valid that the Oakland Raiders and their franchise says about anybody. That's the biggest bunch of manure I've ever heard in my entire life. Lied to the team, lied to the fans, lied to the media. I'm a member of the media. People lie to me every day. Do I care? No. I don't give a crap. Lane Kiffin is deserving of that 2 months' pay. How did he violate his contract? Al Davis tried to force Lane Kiffin out. You didn't want him as coach. You fired him. The guy's got a contract. Pay the man his money. I don't even want to hear from the Raiders. As far as these recruiting violations, every team has them. I don't know the extent of the damage they have potentially caused. Like I said, I have to talk to more people around the league, around college, reporters, and find out. But let's not sit here and chastise Lane Kiffin as being the only one that's done recruiting violations. Bobby Bowden, Joe Paterno, Nick Saban. You've seen best of the best. Everybody is always trying to get the top-notch player to do whatever they can to get him. I told you a story a few weeks ago. In South Florida, when you go to some of those top high schools around the entire country, happen to be in South Florida, and you go to some of those games, you see some of those top-notch players, I must have named you 15 or 20 coaches within the top 25 that were all there at that same game watching the same one, two, maybe three players. It's no joke. The recruiting business is not a joke. If you have an athlete out there, a child, and you're a parent of a child, this is just like negotiating contracts, like being a professional. The recruiting game is dirty. How many of these coaches at your front door wanted to talk to your son, who's 16, 17 years old? Now they're talking to 15-year-olds. It is a very dirty business. I admire Lane Kiffin being aggressive. Twitter, Facebook, whatever, reaching out to any recruits that way. It seems a little shady, but there's always more to a story, more to a situation that meets the eye. Let's not forget about that. There are two sides to every story. people are going to believe what they want to. And at the same time, you can have, whether it's a recruiting violation or any kind of situation brought up, every time that story gets to somebody different within a party, it changes versions completely. The story is never the same from the original party to when it gets to 10, 20 people deep. Lane Kiffin recruiting violation. 20 people later, Lane Kiffin had 17 recruiting violations where he went to this country, went to another country, and tried to bring people in illegally. I mean, you can make up any far-fetched, asinine story, and that's exactly what's going to transpire. And there's been a lot of controversy since Lane Kiffin's taken over, and it's a revolving wheel. It's going to keep going and going, and it's not going to stop. If the season starts, it'll stop. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with this Lane Kiffin recruiting violation and what kind of in-depth research is Tennessee doing. That's something I'd really like to know. A recruiting violation is a recruiting violation. There are no versions. You're breaking the rules, you're not breaking the rules. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen with this. I hope Lane Kiffin has a lot of success. I really do. I just don't like the fact that he's been nonchalantly running his mouth when he hasn't really accomplished anything at the collegiate level, and you're calling out some of the top-notch coaches that you got to go up against every day in the SEC. That's been my only gripe with Lane Kiffin. Expecting our weekly segment with Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible, I want to ask him about this Lane Kiffin situation. You check us out on NFLDraftBible.com, or you can give us a call, 347-945-6275 if you want to get in on the show. We'll take a quick break. We'll get to the NFL. A lot going around the league. Players retiring. Guys still out there. Free agency. Training camp a few weeks away. We're in the middle of OTAs. Chad Johnson, Rex Ryan in the news. We'll get into all that on the other side. We're going to pause. Couple of breaks. Pay some bills. B-Spec, Brian Spector with you, taking you the rest of the hour. With your all-access football sports time, it is 5:14.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lamming, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
What's up, y'all? It's Audley Stevenson.
And I'm Dave Mendonca.
If you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation,
you give me your picks, I tell you why they're wrong.
Build around it, Dave. Come on. This is a basketball franchise 101. I got to break it down for you.
Audley, come on. You can't forget the big laugh.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Dave and Audley are in agreement.
Ole, 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 ole.
And big guest.
Darvin
Ham. This is Troy Johnson, a.k.a. Usley.
Hi, I'm Mo Taylor.
NBA Breakdown is a place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA Breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Take it down.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help. You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
Welcome back. B-Spec Brian Spector with you. It is 5:15, taking you the rest of the hour. A lot going around in the NFL. You want to get in, folks, 347-945-6275. Take your opinions. Talk about some of your teams, what's going on with OTAs, a lot going on around the league. This is a year-round business. The off-season is just as important as the regular season. And one thing I wanted to touch upon of the many subjects going around the NFL right now has been Rex Ryan, the head coach of the New York Jets. And all I'm going to say is, can you please shut your mouth? This is not what I would call a motivating tactic. We are going to have the best defense. He gets Kenny Rhodes. We're going to have the best defense in the NFL. We're going to be tough. I'm not going to kiss Bill Belichick's rings. Rex Ryan's forgetting a couple of things. First off, you're insulting all the other teams in your division. I wouldn't be calling out the New England Patriots with Tom Brady coming back, a team that has won 3 Super Bowls. I wouldn't be calling out the Miami Dolphins, who are clearly going in the right direction, had another great offseason with Bill Parcells, Sperano, and Ireland, and calling out those guys, especially after coming off winning the division. The Buffalo Bills just add Terrell Owens. And last time I looked, Brady, Pennington, and a guy in the wings in Henny, Buffalo and Trent Edwards, all 3 of the teams in your division have accomplished quarterbacks. You drafted Mark Sanchez, a rookie, hasn't stepped on the field yet, has 1 year starting experience in college. I love Mark Sanchez. So you're going to start with a rookie, or you're going to start with Kellen Clemens? Rex Ryan, shut your mouth, because all you're doing is you're really frustrating all the teams in your division. Dolphins bring in Jason Taylor. Their defense is going to be better. New England's got a good defense. What about Tennessee? Pittsburgh? You're going to go out on a limb and you're going to say all those teams, you're going to have a better defense then? Oh, I forgot. You got Lito, who was in the Pro Bowl 3 years ago. Bart Scott doesn't have Ray Lewis. Jim Leonard at safety doesn't have Ed Reed. So Rex Ryan's convinced he's going to have an amazing defense. Just shut up. If the guy was that great of a coach, he would have been a head coach years ago. His father, Buddy Ryan, wasn't a great head coach. And we can go through and name tons of coordinators that have never been successful coaches. Dave Wonsack, Cam Cameron, Romeo Crennel. So let's not go out on a limb and say, oh, Rex Ryan, I love what he's doing. He's going to be a great coach. Yeah, I'd like to see it first. And I'm sure Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible family and Next Level Scouting would agree with me. Right, Justin?
Always agree with you. Always,
all right.
You know?
Now we're getting a little far-fetched here. Come on, I'm wrong a lot more than I'm right, buddy. But
you know, I mean, I think as far as what you said, I mean, as far as it always needs to be proven before you're going to go out on a limb and say, hey, we're going to have a great defense. You know, you bring up some good points as far as, you know, Bart Scott was a great linebacker, but without Ray Lewis and without some of the pieces that they had, you know, it's Terrell Suggs, and hey, is Vernon Golson going to be a Terrell Suggs? You know, who knows? So we'll definitely see how that all plays out there.
Yeah, and Justin, it drives me crazy when you see coaches that haven't accomplished anything at the top level to start running their mouth. I mean, listen, Buddy Ryan was a great assistant coach. He couldn't coach a lick as a head coach, and Rex did a hell of a job. Yes, it helps when you have that kind of talent. Maybe
okay.
We should credit Ozzie Newsome for doing a hell of a job of evaluating that talent and giving Rex Ryan things to work with. But Vernon Golston, I mean, Justin, we see a lot of rookies struggle. Vernon Golston couldn't even sniff the field, not even in a nickel or a dime package, nothing at all. He wasn't smart enough to pick up anything. So how are we going to say that Vernon Golston and Terrell Suggs, or like I said before, Ray Lewis, you know, is not with Bart Scott? I mean, Bart Scott and David Harris. I think Harris is a nice young player. Are we going to compare Harris to Ray Lewis? I mean, I like Kerry Rhodes. Are we going to compare Kerry Rhodes to Ed Reed? So Rex Ryan is putting his foot in his mouth, and he's not going to kiss Belichick's ring? I mean, Bill Belichick's won 3 Super Bowls. The Miami Dolphins won that division, and they're going in the right direction. Buffalo brings in Terrell Owens. I mean, why is Rex Ryan just creating this kind of controversy? I mean, is he stupid?
Well, I think he's a brash guy. I mean, he's Buddy Ryan's son, and we saw that happen with, you know, with Buddy Ryan in the past. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, and he's got to be confident. I mean, he's got to say that, because if he doesn't, you know, as far as his credibility and his aura and the things that he brought to the table there from Baltimore to the New York Jets would be questioned. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's, hey, is, you know, does Buddy Ryan, you know, that influence, and Rex Ryan, do they go ahead and take that, hey, you know, coordinator, you know, spot and become a successful head coach? We haven't seen it in the past, and his family history doesn't bode well for him. But, you know, hopefully he can turn or help the Jets get to the playoffs. And they do have a lot of question marks, especially at the quarterback position. That's a huge question mark for what they're going to do there. And, you know, then we'll see how everything plays out.
And he goes out and he says, we're going to win the Super Bowl in 3 years. You know, it's just things like that, that Jet fans love it. Any fan would like it. And guys like you, I don't like that. You know, give your team bulletin board material. Do it within the confines of your facility and team meetings. I'm sick and tired of guys running their mouth through the media. And you know what? A guy like Rex Ryan, the Jets, should get smacked in the mouth. That's what they really deserve. I'm just sick and tired of all these guys, you know, with the Brett Favre story. You know what? These guys have to know their role. Check your ego at the front door and just shut your mouth. You know, and it's frustrating. And we talked about this with the Denver Broncos, with Josh McDaniels and the Cutler rift. I mean, it's just never ending. When are people just going to grow up? Grow up, go out, play the game, motivate your team, but don't motivate your team by putting others down, especially those others that have accomplished a lot more. Kerry Rhodes, we're going to have the best defense in the NFL. New England's got a good defense. Miami's got a great – is going to have even a better defense now with Jason Taylor, the addition of Cameron Wake, whatever it is. But you're going to call out Pittsburgh, Tennessee, two dominating defenses for decades.
Well, you know, I mean, as far as Rex Ryan, he's got to put up or shove. And I think, you know, as far as he has motivated some, you know, he's motivated those teams on his schedule, you know, that are going to want to put up the big points, are going to want to put up, you know, half a hundred on them, you know, they'll want to, you know, run up the score. And Bill Belichick's been one to do it. I mean, 2 years ago when Tom Brady was going for, you know, the touchdown pass record, and Randy Moss had, you know, as far as the most receiving touchdowns, you know, they were up against the Washington Redskins and up a very respected coach there. You know, and then just goes ahead and just keeps dominating, keeps scoring points. And I think that's what New England's going to try to do to the Jets and try to, you know, rub it in there. And, you know, hey, Rex Ryan is his first year head coach and a rookie head coach and has never had that success or has never had that responsibility. So he's like that Josh McDaniels, a guy who, hey, you haven't been there, you haven't done it. So before you start popping off the mouth or, you know, making these comments or making your star quarterback upset like McDaniels did, hey, let's take it easy. Let's, you know, slow your roll. You see some of these other, you know, coaches who have been successful or have been, you know, as far as head coaches in the past and kind of come back on there, those guys don't make those comments. It seems like these young guys who's never been a head coach and have that authority and that responsibility who are making these comments.
And not even being a head coach, you know, there are a lot of guys that as coordinators you think they would learn. You know, you thought Josh McDaniels, and that was something that was said a long time ago, you brought up a great point, is Josh McDaniels running his mouth and not knowing how to be a head coach. But when you're in that New England organization, learning from a guy like Bill Belichick, you don't see Bill Belichick airing out the laundry in New England. And Rex Ryan, yes, we saw Harbaugh do it, you know, where he called out the Dolphins, that Cam Cameron's a hell of a coach after the whole ordeal with what Cam went through in Miami, just to give an example. So Harbaugh was new at that. He did it. But what's Rex Ryan's excuse all the years before with Brian Billick? Brian Billick was known for calling out players and saying, hey, I need more from you. You didn't see Brian Billick air out the public laundry. So it just shocks me how some of these coaches, assistant coaches that become head coaches, run their mouth, and yet they come from a coaching tree where they were with guys that never did that. So it's just mind-boggling to me. You see what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. But the thing is everybody wants to do it their own way. You know, they want to show as far as their ability and what they can do and what they bring to the table is different and is better. Yeah, they'll take something from Bill Belichick or Brian Billick or, you know, they'll take the little, you know, pieces of that, but they want to go ahead and show, hey, I'm the man. You know, I think it comes down to an ego thing, you know, as far as in these guys, you know, they have big egos, and now they've got put in a position where they have that authority, and they have the microphones, and they have people talking and want, you know, hear what they have to say, and then they, you know, they pop off their mouth, and maybe it's something that should have been done, hey, you know, as far as sitting around and drinking beers with the buddies and something like that, and now, you know, now they've had the authority to sit, instead of sitting around at Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, having a cocktail, you know, in making these bold statements. They're standing in press conference and making these statements. So, you know, they've got to, you know, tone it down, and hey, you can feel that, but let's not get it out there so that everybody can hear it, and then you just kind of look, you kind of look as far as you're in a no-win situation, because, hey, if you don't have the best defense, then people are going to say, dude, you said, hey, we're going to have the best defense, and you guys are, you know, 13th in the league in defense. And then it comes back, and it's a full circle, and it's a no-win situation for Rex Ryan.
And we're joined by Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting. Does terrific work. You can catch it on NFLDraftBible.com. And, Justin, before I switch pages with you, you and I can go through a list of coordinators that have been unsuccessful as coaches. I mean, Romeo Crennel, Marvin Lewis, Cam Cameron, Dave Wonsett. The list goes on and on. There's a much higher failure rate for coordinators that become head coaches. I mean, Charlie Weiss, I would say, is a failure right now. What if he won at Notre Dame? And you know what? I'll even go out on the limb and I'll say North Turner. North Turner's never been a great head coach. Okay, San Diego had a good year. But when you have that kind of talent, it's hard not to have a good year, and they won that division going 9-7, catching fire, and Denver just tanked. So I'm not going to go on a limb and say North Turner hasn't been that successful as a coach. And he was on that Jimmy Johnson staff in Dallas with Wonsett and Butch Davis. Butch, another guy, had to go back to college. You know, that's a perfect example. All those guys in Dallas, when you had Wonsett, Butch Davis, all those great coaches, did any of them ever become a good head coach? No.
No, I think the thing is it comes from those guys, those teams that were successful, who won the Super Bowl. You mentioned as far as the Dallas tree with Butch Davis, North Turner, Dave Wonsett. Those guys were under Jimmy Johnson. Who Jimmy Johnson was a guy who was able not only to be a heck of a coach, but as far as his talent evaluation was so great, as far as his ability to draft, not only to draft, but to find guys that to fit the roles and the position that he wanted them to play. So I think what happens is the owners, they see, okay, hey, the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl, or the back in the day, the Dallas Cowboys won a Super Bowl. So now they're saying, hey, let's get the coordinator. That's who ran the offense. Let's go get who ran the defense. But the problem is, you know, North Turner, he had Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, Michael Irving, Alvin Harper, Jay Novacek, and the list goes on, you know, as far as talent. When you don't have that talent, you can't do what you did there. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, really talent wins. You know, yeah, coaching is important and, you know, like that, but if you got the talent, then you've got to, you know, melt that talent with good coaching. And so sometimes I think those coaches, those assistants get overrated because, hey, the talent was so good and the head coach was able to kind of melt those pots together. And, you know, when you're not in that same situation, you don't have the success like a Romeo Crennel, like a North Turner, you know, like a Charlie Weiss, like a, you know, hey, Josh McDaniels, what we've seen so far, he hasn't been a success, but, you know, he might be able to turn it around. But like New England, you know, they won a number of Super Bowls, and their assistant coaches haven't been very successful in the NFL. So I think it's all, you know, predicated on, hey, everybody wants to win now. They see the guys who won the Super Bowl, and they go out and get hired, those coordinators, and sometimes that turns around and bites them in the butt.
Switching to a different story right now, Justin. Chad Ochocinco, and I've gotten used to calling him now Ochocinco. He hasn't been to an OTA, a voluntary workout with the Bengals since 2007, begging to get traded. He shows up to an off-season workout, and he tells, first off, he speaks to Carson Palmer for about 40 to 45 minutes for the first time at the end of the season, which I find that mind-boggling, how you just can't talk to your quarterback. Get on the same page, find out what you're going to do, and show you're in this in the long run. Did you hear Ochocinco's comments?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to go there, do you?
You know, I want to go here. This is Chad Ochocinco, and I quote him. I know people are trying to say we're mad at each other and all that in reference to Carson Palmer, but we're good, he said. We're like broke back mountain. I'm going to be with Carson so much in July that I'm going to be the nanny for his new twins.
What
to say?
Yeah, you know, you can't say much. Did he ask, did he watch the movie? Did he think it was just about some buddies with cowboys? I mean, you know, I hope he hasn't done that.
He put his foot in his mouth. He's nonchalantly insulting the gay community. Because based on these comments, you really didn't see the movie. You know, I know Phil Jackson made these comments in reference to the Lakers last year with the finals with the Celtics. Okay. But Chad Ochocinco is the guy that's creating all this controversy. He wants out. Doesn't want to be there. The hell with Cincinnati. The hell with the Bengals. Now he wants to come back and be a good teammate. What's with the sideshow? Aren't people tired of the sideshow? Do the people in Cincinnati even care at this particular point? Hushman Zada already left. I know they bring in Lavernius Coles. Chad Ochocinco now says, I want to be hungry again, back to when I got drafted in 2001 and making 5 Pro Bowls. Why are you hungry now all of a sudden? You think with all the money a guy like that is making, Justin, you want to just be a teammate and be getting paid and just make a stand already?
I think the thing is you know, he had played so well and was so, as far as loved, and he kind of, everybody kind of liked his act and what he did, his dances, River Dance Dance, you know, everything that he did, and he kind of, you know, created that alter ego. And then I think what happened was he struggled. The Bengals struggled. I mean, they went to a playoff game where they hadn't gotten, you know, in the wild, and, you know, Carson got hurt. He came back. That Hushman Zada became the number one receiver, and he wasn't. And so I think the biggest thing was his ego got bruised, and he got knocked down the peg. I mean, he was horrible last year. Yeah, true, they didn't have Carson Palmer. But now I think he's saying, okay, hey, you know, hey, instead of, you know, I wanted out, but obviously I had a horrible year last year. I didn't perform up to my talent and my capabilities, so I'm going to try to rework this. Hey, I'm going to go be hungry and stuff like that. But he should have been that way. You know, step in and step out. I think he realizes, hey, he's made a huge mistake, and the problem is he can't fix it because he can't get it out of his own way, because he does, either doesn't have a good PR, you know, man or helping him out or woman or something saying, hey, let's not make those kinds of comments. Let's just zip it up, go out there, work hard, get with Carson, you know, work hard, work, you know, on and off the field, and let's not talk to the media. Let's not make some boneheaded comments, like as far as comparing his relationship with Broke, you know, as far as him and Carson's relationship with, like, Brokeback Mountain. Let's not make those type of comments. Let's just get on, get our work done, and hopefully you can have a good season, because the Cincinnati Bengals had a heck of a draft and some free agent moves and stuff like that, and they could, you know, be a surprise in that division, in my opinion.
You know, Justin, I agree. And, again, we're joined by Justin Van Fulton of the NFL Draft Bible, Next Level Scouting. And in reference to Chad Ochocinco, yeah, he had the shoulder injury last year. No one's going to perform well on a major shoulder injury. He had a major shoulder injury. Carson Palmer with the elbow. He had elbow surgery. But when you look at the Bengals, there's no reason why these guys can't be happy and put it together. I know we poke fun at their expense for all the jailbirds they bring on. Fine. It's all in good fun. Okay? But when you look at the Bengals on paper, and you look at Henry, Chad Ochocinco, Lavernius Coles, that's a pretty damn good receiving core when you go to 3 wide. Palmer, in my opinion, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Yes, he goes under the radar a little bit because of Cincinnati, but he's proven that he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. Cedric Benson, when he has his head on straight, is a good running back. They draft Andre Smith, and if Andre Smith has his head on straight, Justin, we can arguably say that he was the best left tackle in that draft. Defensively, when you have linebackers, Ray Maluga, Keith Rivers, Donnie Jones, that's a good linebacking core. This team on paper, if they put it all together and get rid of all the crap that they're and the company they create and this HBO Hard Knocks garbage they're going to be on too, this team has a lot of talent, and you said they could be a sleeper in that division. There's no reason why this team can't go out and win a bunch of games. And when they went to that playoff game, when Palmer hurt his knee against Pittsburgh, that Cincinnati Bengals team was a lot of fun to watch. They got a lot of national exposure, and I remember watching that game. That team was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that's what they got to get back to. I mean, as far as I really like as far as their linebacking core. You had mentioned as far as what Michael Johnson could be as a third round pick. As far as a defensive end who could be a guy who could come off the edge. Not a lot is expected out of him. So as far as he could come in and get eight to ten sacks and really burst onto the scene because he's got that ability. You know, he was the number one player coming into his senior season. For his Bledsoe and National had him as far as the number one overall graded senior player, and he ended up dropping to the third round because he's more of a one-dimensional type player. But if he can do that and create havoc as a pass rusher with those linebackers, you got Leon Hall, you bring in a Roy Williams, a veteran safety from Dallas who's a hard-hitting run stopper. That defense should be pretty darn good. You know, if everybody lives up to expectations, and then, like you said, Carson Palmer is a Pro Bowl, is a franchise quarterback, and is a guy who...
And they brought in Tank Johnson as well.
Yeah, so, they should be good. So, Chad, hey, let's keep the act to a minimum. Let's get your work done on and off the field, and, as far as go on there and win, go 9-7 to make the playoffs, as far as get a wild card, or go 10-6, and maybe Pittsburgh has a down year, and you fight for that division.
Do you think Jerry Jones and Pac-Man Jones are related?
They sure like each other a lot. So maybe they are. Maybe they're distant cousins.
Jerry Jones needs to get a general manager. He needs to go away like Al Davis. He cuts Pac-Man beating the crap out of all of his bodyguards. Right? And then he comes out and says, I'm not saying the door isn't closed on Adam Jones. We like to have him back in Dallas. Then he comes out again and says, no, I don't want Adam Jones back. We blew it out of proportion. Jerry, what the hell are you talking about? Then I love the fact, Justin, where he goes, and Pac-Man Jones graded out as our best defensive back last year. What kind of grading scale are you giving your players? Pac-Man Jones was the one guy that got picked on more than anybody last year. What the hell is going through Jerry Jones's mind?
Well, I think that's the luxury you have as being the owner. You can say the most idiotic things and get away with it. You can make those personnel moves to, say T.O. is not going anywhere and then cut him the next day. Say, hey, maybe we'll bring back Pac-Man Jones and then say, no, we won't, then maybe we will. Like you said, as far as Dallas hasn't won one playoff game since Jimmy Johnson was the head coach. As far as Jimmy Johnson was that guy who kept it all together, kept Jerry Jones's ego in check, was the guy who brought in the talent, and they were successful. Now, Dallas is a very talented team. They've got, as far as Jason Witten, they've got Roy Williams, they've got Tony Romo, they got Marion Barber. They've got some offensive weapons. They've got, on defense, they've got DeMarcus West. They've got a lot of talent, and as far as a lot of guys who are Pro Bowl-type caliber players, but they've had a horrible locker room. They can't win in the playoffs to win. They're going to win 8, 9, 10 games this season, but, if they make it to the playoffs, they won't win a game because as far as Jerry Jones has really taken over that team and wants to be that head coach and wants to have all the authority. So the players don't have any respect for Wade Phillips or as far as any coach that they've had in there because they know as far as Jerry Jones is, he wants to be the coach and he's the GM and the owner and wants to probably play quarterback too if he could. So, I think Jerry Jones has got to just stay in the owner's box, let the football guys take care of the football responsibilities, let the coaches coach, and just go ahead and enjoy being the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
And you make a great point, when you talk about Pac-Man Jones and him grading out as one of the better defensive backs, you can't afford to bring in a guy like that, even if you were desperate. And Justin, you and I talked off the air a long time ago, and we were at the Combine, and we said, you look at how Bill Parcells and Jeff Ireland built the Dallas Cowboys. And we said it's only going to be a matter of time once Jerry Jones starts making all those personnel decisions, what's going to happen. And you saw how the Cowboys drafted this year. And three-quarters of the guys they drafted, you and I were talking, and we're like, huh? Who? Who is that guy? And you're starting to see that. You like what they have at the running back position. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on Tony Romo. They have not won a game yet. And Jerry Jones is the one guy that will put the blame on everybody else and not take it for himself. Yes, I don't like Wade Phillips, the head coach. Another guy, great coordinator, crappy head coach. You and I even discussed that. But Jerry Jones is the one bringing the players and making these personnel moves. Now, as much as we don't like Wade Phillips, the head coach, he's not doing anything personnel-wise to help anybody in that organization's cause to be successful.
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem with that team is their personnel as far as just doesn't fit. I mean, as far as what they're trying to do, you know, and as far as and the chemistry, and like I said, they haven't won a playoff. They've won one playoff game since the Jimmy Johnson era, since Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and stuff like that. They've got Pro Bowl caliber players. I mean, they had, 2 years ago they had 13 Pro Bowl players that went to Hawaii, you know, and last year they had those, most of those players were still there. So, you know, I think the biggest issue is, you know, yeah, now they blame T.O., said he was a locker room cancer. They got rid of him. They got rid of Pat Van Jones, even though they might want to bring him back, whoever knows, you know. And now we'll see what they can do here with this season. But, you know, Wade Phillips, this is his last year of his contract. You know, he's a lame duck coach. Everybody knows that they'd like to bring in, you know, maybe – you know, a bigger name coach or somebody different.
John Gruden or Mike Shanahan. That's what I'm going to say right now. Say that for next year. Now, one of those two guys will be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
You heard it here first with my boy Speck.
Yeah. Or, and I'm sitting here looking at the Cowboy roster, Justin, and then I want to move on to one more thing before I let you go. You know, when you talk about Pac-Man Jones, great now is the best corner. Terrence Newman had an injury last year. Okay, so he was out. You had Orlando Scandrick, a rookie, Mike Mickens they drafted this year from Cincinnati, and the kid from South Florida that they picked up, Mike Jenkins.
Yeah, Jenkins, yeah.
You can't bring a guy like Pac-Man, even if you were contemplating it, because he wasn't your highest graded corner. That's not saying much considering you're playing with a bunch of rookies. You have to get Mickens and Jenkins and Scandrick on the field with Newman, and you have to get rid of the Pac-Man experiment and move on.
Yeah, Pac-Man's got to be gone. And I don't think Pac-Man's going to play in that new NFL, that new league, the UFL, along with Michael Vick, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think Vick gets back in the NFL this year, at least. I think maybe Goodell reinstates him. Maybe he doesn't if he happens to. I know Dungy's spoken to him and all this other hoopla that's going around Michael Vick. I don't think he plays in the NFL this year. I think he's in the UFL, the CFL, and maybe he's back in the NFL in another year. And we're joined by Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible, Next Level Scouting. Justin, one more thing before I let you go. Lane Kiffin, I know we bring this up a lot, and we talked last week about, you know, calling out people in the SEC. And I love him as a person. I love what he's doing. I love his passion. We both discussed how we love what he's done with his father, Monty, coaching the defense. We see these, and I'm going to defend Lane Kiffin, we see these recruiting violations all the time, whether it's on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, 1 being the most minute. We've seen Joe Paterno, we've seen Bobby Bowden, Nick Saban. All these coaches have had recruiting violations because you have the top 25 schools in the entire country going to all these games and fighting over the same one or two players. So it's not out of the norm. What do you make of Tennessee looking into whether it committed another NCAA recruiting violation? I mean, I'm sure you saw that ESPN story. I saw it as well where they have cameras in as he's meeting with high school kids. Yes, it's a little shady to me, but what do you make of this whole situation with Lane Kiffin? Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Is there an ending to this?
Well, I think the thing is that somebody needs to sit down with Lane and go over the NCAA as far as guidelines on as far as recruiting, because it seems like he's not making major things. He's not like saying, hey, let me pull out this wad of the cash and give it to you or your mom. He's making all these small, minute, you know, infractions. And I, you know, as far as I think Lane's a pretty smart guy too. So I don't know if he's just trying to push it to the edge, or if he just doesn't care, or if he just doesn't understand, and nobody in the compliance offices has says, hey, these are a violation. And I think sometimes, you know, he comes from the NFL and now comes, you know, goes to college, and his mentality is a lot different than, hey, this is about, you know, supposedly about an education and stuff like that, where we know a lot of these guys never go to class and stuff like that, but that's a whole other subject. But I think Lane Kiffin, he really doesn't, he hasn't gotten it yet. And I'm not saying he won't, but he's always making these minor infractions. He's trying to push it too much to the edge, because he wants to get good fast. He wants to get those top-notch guys, and he wants to be able to win now, but he's going about it the wrong way, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say I like the guy. I want him to be successful. He was great at USC. He's young. He's passionate. He has it, in my opinion. But maybe he's just guilty of being way too aggressive. There's nothing wrong with being aggressive, because people that are aggressive are do-gooders. They want to get things going the right direction. They want to win. They want to be positive and upbeat. So you respect that. I respect that. Maybe he's guilty of being too aggressive. But the one thing, Justin, and I'm going to let you go, is everyone wants to chastise Lane Kiffin, but nobody wants to chastise Urban Meyer that 24 Florida Gators have been arrested since he took over that program, but he's won two national championships. And Lane is coming off being in Oakland, and those comments from the Oakland Raider organization is absolutely ridiculous. He lied to the media. He lied to the players. Justin, we're the media. Don't people lie to us every single day?
That's the job. You got to pick through those lies and find the truth.
Exactly. I mean, come on. That's like a team coming out, and I made this reference in the first segment where it says, oh, I love this player. He's going to be great in our system. And yet that coach, that GM, and that president of player personnel are going out, and they're drafting three and four other guys from that position. Oh, but we love this guy, even though he hasn't gotten in the last year of his contract. What are they doing? It's a pulled out. It's a straight-out face lie right to our face. That's the business. So I'm sick and tired of the Raiders saying, tell the Raiders to pay this man his 2 months of pay that he's owed. He has a contract. Am I right or wrong? Pay the man.
You're right. I mean, as far as – I mean, he's a guy who, you know, as far as the Raiders have always done things kind of on that shady standpoint as far as Al Davis. I mean, he's got passion for the NFL. He's got passion for football and has been a pioneer and has been – helped build what the NFL is today. But, you know, just go ahead and take – if you and Lane didn't get along, go ahead and pay him, get him gone. He's down with Tennessee. Let's just kind of turn the table, you know, and now let Tennessee go ahead and have the issues if you feel like Lane Kiffin was a problem. But I think Lane Kiffin is going to be successful. We've brought this up a number of weeks and said, hey, this guy is going to win some games in the SEC. But to me, he's just got to put the brakes on a little bit and as far as, you know, hey – don't go too super aggressive because, you know, sooner or later, you might hit into a major violation that's going to do more harm than it is good. So, Lane, you know, hey, let's just see what you guys can do this season with the talent you brought in because you've got a heck of a class and you've got a heck of a class coming in next year from your guys' early commitments. And let's see what Tennessee can do. And hopefully it brings back to that the days of, when Tennessee was a factor in the national championship hunt.
There you have it. Justin Van Fulpen, you catch his terrific work, NFLDraftBible.com, Next Level Scouting. He breaks down the draft every year, breaks down college, has incredible insight, and always offers a lot to our program here at NFL Spectacular. Justin, you're a good friend. Always appreciate the time, and I'm sure I'll talk to you very soon, my friend.
Thanks, Peck. We'll talk to you later, man.
Got it, buddy. That's Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting. Always appreciate his time on the program. 347-945-6275 if you want to get in. One segment left on the show for your all-access football sports time. It is 5:50.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet.
7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday.
Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday.
30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lanning, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
What's up, y'all? It's Audley Stevenson.
And I'm Dave Mendonca.
If you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation,
you give me your picks, I tell you why they're wrong.
Build around it, Dave. Come on. This is Basketball Franchise 101. I got to break it down for you.
Audley, come on. You can't forget the big laugh.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Dave and Audley are in agreement.
Ole, 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 ole.
And big guest.
Darvin
Ham. This is Troy Jackson, a.k.a. Uplink.
Hi, I'm Mo Taylor.
NBA Breakdown is a place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA Breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Take it down.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help.
You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
Welcome back to the NFL Spectacular. B-Spec Brian Spector with you. A few minutes left on the show. If you want to get in, 347-945-6275. We'll take your calls. But one story I really want to get to quickly is with Brett Favre. The Minnesota Vikings put a deadline. Hey, Brett. This is not going to drag all the way through July. Let us know. Are you playing or not? Jay Cutler, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford. All these teams have franchise quarterbacks. Tavares Jackson, I still love that kid. I thought he's progressed. He's gotten better. You bring in Sage Rosenfels. Is Brett Favre going to be in the mix? And, folks, we may not know, but we definitely know. Brett Favre had the surgery on the tendon in his arm. Not sure about his shoulder. Going to be 40 years old. Actually, Brett Favre is 40 years old. But here's a little something for you. Brett Favre's family reserve rooms for possible Green Bay return. So let's just tell you right now, he's coming back to play with the Vikings. Daugherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette reports about 2 months ago, a member of Favre's inner circle, this was 2 months ago, blocked off 25 to 30 hotel rooms at the Midway Motor Lodge near Lambeau Field for the weekend of the Vikings game against the Packers on November 1st. Favre appears ready to sign with the Vikings relatively soon, contingent upon his throwing arm's progress after recently having surgery on his injured shoulder. But friends and family members have been preparing for a while for his possible signing with the Vikings. They called and said if he goes to Minnesota, they definitely want to be at the game, said Doug Warpinski, the Ashwaubenon, I don't know what that word is, hotel's manager. Very interesting. Folks, Brett Favre's coming back. He likes to play games. He's a prima donna. Let's not think anything of it. It's Minnesota or bust. He had the surgery shoulder, had the biceps tendons looked at. Dr. James Andrews went through the same process John Elway went through, another quarterback, alleviate the pain. He's going to come back, and he's going to play. His family has already reserved 25 to 30 rooms for the hotel in the Green Bay area down the street from Lambeau Field. Brett Favre wants to come back, and he wants to stick it to the Green Bay Packers. I shouldn't say the Packers. He wants to stick it to Ted Thompson. All Brett's doing is he's hurting his legacy. His reputation, per se. I'm not talking about Brett Favre as a quarterback. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. I love what he's accomplished on the field. But recently, with the Jets and now the Vikings, and let's not forget the offensive coordinator in Minnesota is his former coordinator with the Green Bay Packers. He knows the system. But can Brett Favre physically do it? I don't think so. Listen, we all get older. Our skills have a tendency to diminish. 40 years old. I know we're going to say last year he couldn't sling the ball down the field. People are going to say, oh, it was his shoulder, it was his elbow. It was his biceps tendon, whatever it is. But do we ever look at the fact that maybe Brett Favre is also 40 years old? And, of course, when you're 40, you can't sling it like you did when you were 30. That's the nature of the beast. It's father time kicking in. Minnesota puts that deadline on him now. Does he tell him this week? All right, you got a deal. I'm coming in. Because Brett likes to wait till July 25th when camp opens up July 30th. All right, I'm going to fly in 2 days and I'll see you at camp. Brett Favre is a selfish individual. That was very interesting. Brett Favre will be a member of the Minnesota Vikings. You're hearing it right now. So, Minnesota, get ready to buy your purple Brett Favre jerseys. 347-945-6275 if you want to get on the show. A few minutes left. We want to talk about OTA and what's going on with your team. Your college preview. You want to know what's going on with your college? Are they in your top 25? College training camp right around the corner, folks, 3 weeks. They start the beginning of July. Those football games start in August. College season starts in August, leads into Labor Day. NFL season starts late this year, second week in September. Other news around the NFL, New Orleans Saints have come out and said they are not interested in Derek Brooks. Derek Brooks is still out there. Still wants to play. He's not dead weight. He's up there in years, but why not give a guy like Derek Brooks a one-year deal? He can mentor some of your young linebackers. The Miami Dolphins just brought back Jason Taylor. Yes, he can still play at a high level at 34. He's going to be 35 this season, but he's also going to mentor some of the younger guys. Why can't Derek Brooks come in on a one-year deal? He's not going to require demand a lot of money. He can still play the game, has a lot of experience, and he can mentor some of your young players. Jeff Spain of the New Orleans Times-Picayune reports New Orleans Saints fans shouldn't look for Derek Brooks to be with the team. Coach Sean Payton shot it down in post-practice interviews. In the wake of Dan Morgan's surprise retirement on Monday, speculation centered on the Saints' possible interest in former Tampa Bay Pro Bowler Brooks. Asked if the team is considering bringing in veteran linebacker help, Sean Payton said the team with the current depth at the position and plans to take the 9 players on the roster into training camp. There you have it. Saints not interested in Derek Brooks. I think the Saints' weakness has been the linebacker position. Dan Morgan, great player. You feel bad for him. You wish him the best in his retirement. Why not bring in Derek Brooks? You have Mark Cimino. You have Jonathan Vilma. Can't hurt. Derek Brooks still clearly wants to play the game. Talking earlier about coordinators that have not been successful as head coaches, I'm still shocked Eric Mangini got the job in Cleveland. Cleveland's the one franchise that they hire the coach before they hire the general manager. Usually you hire the GM. The GM picks the coach. That's how you build rapport. Most functional franchises do it that way. The owner hires the president, who hires the GM, who hires the coach. Usually that's how you look at successful franchises, successful football teams. Oh, but that's why there's no success in Cleveland when it comes to the NFL. I don't anticipate it anytime soon. Mangini had one good year. That label went really well. There's a visitor in Cleveland. Cleveland's entertaining free agents. Williamson of ESPN.com reports free agent safety Mike Brown, great player, just had injury concerns, may be soon visiting Cleveland. He visited Kansas City last week. 9-year veteran was released by the Bears in February. When he's healthy, that guy can play. He most certainly can. 49ers, Scott McLaughlin, general manager, said on NFL Sirius Radio, they are not interested in signing Michael Vick. Not going to happen. And I discussed with Justin Van Fulpen earlier, Michael Vick may not even get back in the NFL this year. He's first got to get through a meeting with Roger Goodell. If he happens to get in, there's no guarantee a team is going to take a flyer on him. None whatsoever. UFL, CFL, we discussed PETA. Does an NFL team really want to take that kind of PR hit? He could be that wildcat quarterback. Not this year. I know Vic is going to be 30 years old. He's a 30-year-old in a 26-year-old's body. He has no wear and tear. That's why Ricky Williams is still playing well at 32 years old, 33. He hasn't played in 3 or 4 years. He's playing a 28, 29-year-old's body. Hasn't taken a big beating. And he's playing a 2-running-back system now in Miami with Ronnie Brown. That goes into it as well. So don't anticipate Michael Vick being in red with the 49ers and Mike Singletary, because I don't think that is going to happen.
I cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
All right, Mike, easy, easy. So don't anticipate to see Michael Vick in San Francisco. Another edition of the NFL Spectacular about ready in the books. Want to thank all you for listening, tuning in. Appreciate the support on the show. Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible. You can catch his terrific work. We are on the air every Tuesday and Thursday, 5 to 6. We will be back Thursday, 5 o'clock p.m. Dan Moglione from the NFL Draft Bible to join us. Again, want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. We will see you on Thursday, 5 o'clock. Have a good one, everybody.